Hello and welcome to Friday's episode, minute 60 of season 7 of Movie Around Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1995 action flick Die Hard with a Vengeance, 1 minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me today, even if, he isn't the most reliable person around.
Oh my god.
No, I'm kidding. And joining me today is my good friend, Alan Sanders. Welcome back to the show, Alan.
Good morning. And, time zones are something I never calculate properly.
I wonder why.
Well, I'm just not good at it. Although, as unreliable as I can be, I'm always there in a pinch.
There you go. And I appreciate that. And I'm glad. So... no problem.
Well, happy Friday to you as well.
All right. So minute 60 begins with Simon starting with another riddle and ends with the click of a briefcase lock. So we ended things yesterday. We finally got, some John and Zeus this week. Mm-hmm. You didn't get much of him up until yesterday. You didn't get any of him until yesterday. It was all in the vault.
Right.
What goes in the vault stays in the vault, right?
Well, what I love is by having this minute or this week is we do get the two concurring or parallel plots of the movie.
Correct. Which is very helpful, because it gives you a chance to balance both of it. You see Simon's side of it, and you also see John and Zeus playing in the park.
Mm-hmm. By the way, if I had never seen this movie before, if I was coming in cold and you were like, I'm going to do an experiment, I'm just going to bring in people to just watch these minutes, not knowing the movie, not knowing any context, I would not know that these are the guys that are supposed to win. Everything was heroic sounding music. It was a team that was, we're watching this whole week, Simon and crew moving with precision, no wasted steps, no wasted bullets. Everything is exactly planned to the nth letter. And then you got these two guys running around trying to figure out how to answer riddles. They're all beat up. They look worse for wear. And even a little bit of bickering between the two of them. I would not have thought that these are supposed to be the heroes.
I think you would have figured it out. I think you've seen enough movies to know. Saying,
based on the imagery of this week.
Right. Okay, that's fair. So Simon begins with a new riddle. As they're listening on the phone, and we hear, what has four legs and is always ready to travel? And then John goes, well, huh? What? And then Simon hangs up. And John is looking around. He's completely confused. I mean, one of the things I like about the way that they plan these riddles, through the movie, is some of them John knows right away, and some of them he's got no clue. It's not as if he's always on the ball. It's not like he's saying, okay, I know that one. It's like sometimes it's a hit or miss for him. And it adds to the dynamic between him and Zeus because of the fact that they give us the opportunity for Zeus to also stand, to stand up and give what he needs to give with the whole thing, which also helps with the bickering, as you mentioned before.
Yeah. Which is ironic because coming up, they're going to have a line like, you're supposed to help me. Well, he just helped him or is going to help him with this riddle. So it does make it feel very fresh in the moment. Both the actors, I've always enjoyed Samuel L. Jackson anyway, and I love Bruce Willis. And this forced partnership, because, obviously neither there wasn't a plan that they were supposed to be working together. It just kind of accidentally happened. And you still feel some of that along the way, but it's slowly wearing away. Samuel L. Jackson or Zeus is realizing this is serious now. As much as I hated now going to help this poor white dude who was trying to get himself killed in the streets, it's a bigger, bleaker picture. And I love watching this dynamic unfold.
Yeah, it's really done. It's done very well. And then Zeus says to John, what do you say? So then he repeats the riddle to him and goes, what has four legs and is always ready to travel? And Zeus just starts yelling at him and goes, what's the matter with you? Don't you have kids? That's an elephant joke.
Love it.
Yeah. So let's talk about elephants.
Okay. Let's talk about the pachyderms.
That's right. What do you know about elephants?
Well, Hannibal used them across the mountains to crush Alexander. I know that they're great in circuses. I know the biggest land mammal. I think when they're like a baby elephant weighs, I think already starting off at 140 pounds. They have a trunk. I do know that they communicate. Apparently, they have unique. They do have language, and they have good memories.
Okay, and you forgot the most important thing that you always talk about with them. They appear in Return of the King.
A version, the Oliphant, yes.
Hey. Okay, well, come on. It's the same type of thing.
I'd be a little scared if I actually saw a real Oliphant coming at me.
Oh, come on. I think you would be like Legolas, and you would just jump on his trunk and slide up there.
Slide down. I do know they live kind of like humans. I think they can live upwards of 60 to 70 years. I'm trying to just, because I have no idea what you're going to ask, because you're going to be like, but do you know where it got the name? And I don't know where the name came from.
That will come up. Yes, that is there on my list of questions for you.
Okay. I do know the gestation, like the where they live about as long as a human being. I think it takes it's more than twice as long for a human. So it's like 20 some months for a baby to gestate, almost 2 years, I think. If they get a good head of steam going, I think the adult males can probably run up to about, I think, what did I hear, like 20 some miles an hour. So they can't go for very long, but enough that if they had a full head of steam and came at you in a car, they could easily knock your car over.
Yeah, you probably don't want that happening.
No.
Probably not.
And honestly, an animal that I've always just thought was the coolest looking animal. I've always loved them since I was a kid. Maybe it has nothing to do with Dumbo or anything like that. It's just, I always thought the elephant was really cool.
Okay. Very cool. Well, that's because you had read, all about them when you were a kid in the Return of the King.
Well, there you go. I've always been a fan of like the animal documentaries, and the ones that I've seen a lot of are, you know, tracking the herds, tracking the cycles, the birth cycles, where they travel, especially in Africa, to go kind of with the water and try to move in herds. And so maybe that's another reason I've picked up some of that information along the way.
Okay, that's fair. So it is the largest living land animal, mammal. And how many species of elephants do you think are still around?
Well, I know you've got Indian, Asian, and African elephants. I don't know if that's what you mean, but I know there's like three kind of continents or three kind of certain, not really, India's not a continent, but three kind of areas that, so those are the three I know.
Okay, there are three. Yes. Okay. There's the African bush, there's the African forest, and the Asian elephant. So, you know,
there isn't an Indian. Okay, I thought there was an Indian.
No. No. And they are herbivores. The ones who live in the sub-Saharan Africa, they live in sub-Saharan Africa, South Asia, and Southeast Asia. And you usually find them in either savannas, forests, deserts, sometimes in marshes. They are known as keystone species because they have large impacts on their environments.
I would say,
and they have large familial groups. Mm-hmm. They tend to stay in herds and stuff like that. And you are correct; they do live approximately to 70 years in the wild, and okay. they have a unique communication by touch, sight, smell, and sound. And they use seismic communication over long distances and stuff like that. So they're also known as very smart animals. So where do you think the word elephant comes from?
I I told you I knew you were gonna ask me that, and I don't know. I didn't even look it up.
Okay, so it originally comes from the Greek, you find it in Homer. Homer talks about it in his writing, and mm-hmm. it basically comes from the word ivory. In Greek.
Okay, because of the tusks?
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then and then from there it went. They use the Latin word elephas, which ends up eventually coming to elephant.
Okay.
So yeah. So then John and Zeus start looking around. Do you remember the name of the park that they're in right now?
Wait, no, I don't. Was it?
They are in Tompkins Square Park.
Okay.
Which was created in what year?
No idea, sir.
Okay, in 1834. And it's located in the East Village in Alphabet City of Manhattan. And it is a square-shaped park that is separated by East 10th Street, Avenue B, and then East 7th Street and Avenue A. And it's named after Donald D. Tompkins, who was vice president of the U.S. at the time.
Interesting.
All right. Who was president in 1834?
1834. It's pre-Lincoln. Trying to go through that song in my head that the Animaniacs sing.
Which you sent to me.
Yeah. Andrew Jackson. Am I right? Are you just leaving me? Is this like one of those long reality TV show things before we go to the commercial break? You just let the music play?
No, not at all. Not at all. He was the governor of New York from 1807 to 1817.
Wait, wait. You asked me who the president was, and I had to go through
it. I know.
Right?
And he was the sixth vice president, and he was vice president from 1817 to 1825.
You're leaving me hanging.
Well, because I'm trying to give you hints. Who was president in between 1817 and 1825?
It's not Andrew Jackson, then.
No, it is not.
Okay. Well, you could have said that. the guy that came before Andrew Jackson, John Adams. No, am I getting in between? No. I'm missing something, aren't I?
Well, John, there's five presidents between John Adams and Andrew Jackson. Right. I know you met John Quincy Adams, but it's also the president before John Quincy Adams.
Before John Quincy Adams. Gosh, why is my brain not working this morning? James Monroe?
James Monroe, the Monroe documents,
Jeez.
James Monroe. He was the vice president of James Monroe.
I didn't know it was going to be this hard to be on your show.
Well, it's because that's what happens when you get up early in the morning.
Yes. Wait, am I up?
I have no idea.
Oh, let me get some more coffee in me.
Hopefully that'll help. Yeah. No, because there's certain things I don't expect you to know, but I expect Alan Sanders of the Alan Sanders Show to know about politics and the president.
Yes, yes. I feel like I've let you down, and now my audience knows I'm a charlatan. I didn't know. I didn't know the timeline of the presidents.
So he was actually born in New York. He was born in Scarsdale. So they created this park and decided to name it after him.
Very cool. I got to tell you, I've been to New York City a couple of times. And one time we kind of walked all the way from the south end where the ferry comes up from Jersey and walked all the way north up to Central Park. It was just an all day in New York. And I did find it interesting how many of these little cubby parks and little carve outs they had outside of just Central Park to try to make sure there was some green space in the city of Manhattan or in the New York City. So I don't think I'm going across Tompkins Park, but there was a lot of that. I think these little pocket parks and these little one block parks outside of Central Park, which is, of course, the biggest.
Correct. That's right. So the park itself was used in the 60s for lots of Vietnam War demonstrations. And in the 80s, it became infamous for the fact that it was a place where a lot of homeless people would camp out along with drug dealing and heroin use and all that stuff. Yeah, so they eventually clean the place up
mm-hmm.
Because of that. And basically, the idea is that you know, John and Zeus are here, and there's something that you like that they have here, which I'll probably talk a little bit more about on Monday because we'll see it. But there's a huge dog park there.
I was going to say, in the background of the shot, you see at least one person playing with a dog.
Correct. And they actually started the Tompkins Square Dog Run. It was the very first dog run in New York City, and they started it in 1990 as part of their renovation of the area. So when you're visiting New York with your dogs, you know where to go.
I know exactly where I'll go the next time.
Especially they for the last 32 years, they've hosted the annual Tompkins Square Halloween Dog Parade.
Dress your dog up. That's awesome.
That's right. And it claims to be the biggest dog Halloween party in the U.S., with an annual attendance of more than 400 dogs in costume and 2,000 spectators.
Very cool.
But last year they actually canceled it because they say logistical issues. I don't really know what that really means. You know, John and Zeus are looking around trying to find something dealing with an elephant. They actually look around and they see that there's an elephant statue inside of a fountain area, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I actually tried looking up information about it and I couldn't find any information about it. You know, so it makes me wonder if that's real or if it's something that they just added for the movie, because I found out that there are three monuments in the park, but none of them are this one. So don't really know. It's very strange. Because there's a statue of Samuel Cox, who was a New York politician part of the U.S. He was in Congress. And then there's another monument for General Slocum, because there was a boating disaster in June 15th, 1904. So this was a monument in name of the people who were killed in that disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And then the third one they have there is what's known as the Temperance Fountain, which was erected in 1888. And it was a way to keep people, allow people free access to clean drinking water, so that they wouldn't have to drink alcohol as a refreshment.
Wasn't that the structure they run by yesterday on the way to find the
place? Yes, it was.
Okay.
Yes, it was. Because there are four words written on it. There are four stone columns. And so you have faith, hope, charity, and temperance.
Hmm.
But I didn't see anything about a fountain dealing with, dealing with an elephant. So if anyone out there knows if this is real or not, please let me know. You know, it's this can't be the water that they wanted people to drink, clean water, because this does not look very sanitary.
No, I don't think this is the fountain they're talking about. I think the structure that they ran by looks more like a water fountain or something that would have water that would come up in a bowl.
Right.
So yeah. I don't know. I just assumed that this was a real fountain, but
so did I. You know, again, I wasn't able to find information about it, but you never know. It is possible that it has some sort of name that it's not listed here. I don't know why.
Mm.
Or maybe it's something that they've gotten rid of since then. You know, maybe they had it at some point, and it has been 29 years, so maybe it's not there anymore, but it was there.
Right.
But I mean, like I said, when I looked it up, I didn't see it listed anywhere. So
and it could very well be that they didn't even have a running water fountain like this, and they just set it up for the movie.
Could be.
That's interesting. So everything
like
else.
Said, anyone out there who knows this, please let us know.
Yeah, especially if you're in the New York Tompkins Square Park area. If somebody's there, send a picture to you via your Movie Rob Minute email.
There you go.
Or social media. They just tag you on social.
That's right. And then we can show what this park looks like today with or without a fountain with an elephant.
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? And as they're running around, they see that there's a briefcase there. And Zeus screams, "Whoa, that a bomb?" And I love John's response. He goes, "Yeah, go get it."
Yeah, go on. You go first.
You get it. And then he goes, "No, you're the cop." He goes, "Man, Simon said you're supposed to be helping me with this." "I'm helping." "Well, when are you going to start helping?" "After you get the bomb."
I love it. And I love it, as I said just a few minutes ago, he already just solved the riddle for you. It's your turn.
That's right.
So it's he was true. Helping.
And then John reluctantly.
The banter between these two, it feels so natural. It doesn't feel like lines that they just memorized. The way, I don't know right. if they ad-libbed a little or if they, if just the chemistry between these two, it just feels genuine.
Right. And then John reluctantly gets into the fountain and he starts like looking around the briefcase to the right, to the left, whatever. And then just goes, "Careful." He goes, "I'm being careful." He goes, "Don't open it." He goes, "What?" And he goes, "I gotta open it. Mm-hmm. It's gonna be all right." You know, as he carefully lifts up the briefcase and, you know, puts it on the side and gets ready to open it up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's interesting is you'd think that John would know that opening the briefcase is not going to be dangerous because they know the issues here. They know what you know what Simon wants. You know, Simon doesn't have. You know, something with explosives or anything like that. You know, you have to wait for the mixture to mix together to explode. It's not like you're going to open up the briefcase and it's going to explode. You're going to open the briefcase for instructions. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So John's aware of that. It's just a question of how is he going to find this out?
But I do like the fact that he doesn't just assume he can just rip it out, rip it down and open it right away. That what if there's some wire there? What if it's a different kind of bomb? So he is at least taking a few seconds, which I think is, once again, feels real, that you just want to make sure no trip wire. We've seen enough movies. Most people, okay, let's just make sure that there's nothing underneath it, nothing around it, and which I like him slowly doing that before removing it from its location.
Right. I definitely agree with you on that. I think that's great the way that they do that here. And at this point, fade to black. It's the end of this minute. That's right. We're going to have to wait until tomorrow to find out exactly what happens.
Now,
or not tomorrow. We're going to have to wait until Monday to find out what happens here. And why are there these strange things behind him?
Now, there is something I was going to say. You did not mention that there are two water jugs, larger water jugs, propped up on either side or just above the briefcase.
Correct. Because they're not as important today.
No, they're not as important today. I'm curious, and I can't wait to listen next week, because they don't do as good a job in the movie explaining the water riddle, but I worked it out, and it works, but they don't do it. The movie kind of glosses over the riddle. I'll just say that.
Well, the reason it glosses over the riddle is because part of the issue. Part of it is cut out because they cut back and forth between different scenes. So we miss part of their argument.
Yes. Okay. I always felt like that they just jumped to the answer without working it out. There's the middle part that's missing. I'm like, wait a minute, guys. And then all of a sudden, if you do this, and they get the water. I'm like, wait a minute. How'd you just leap to the answer? So I'll be curious how you guys work through that.
Yes, next week, my guest and I will definitely be talking about this, and we'll try and explain it, how you can do it. And my guest next week is someone who already asked 4 seasons ago for this week. So, you know, she knows what she's talking about, or at least I believe she does.
Okay, can you give me a tease who you got coming on next week?
Lisa Leahy.
Okay.
Yeah, no, she's been a guest of mine a number of weeks. You know, she's someone who is part of the movie podcast community. She must likes horror movies.
Gotcha. Cool. Let me ask you this: Are you planning? I know we're talking about next movie, so it's a great tease for people to come back. Are you gonna play or do the dialogue you're going to have for that was taken out? Is that going to be part of your show, do you think?
Of course we're going to.
Okay, good.
If it's in the script, we're going to talk about it.
Excellent. Well, I'm looking forward.
The script does explain it all.
Look at that. I'm already looking forward to next week, and we're not even done this week.
There you go. Sounds like a plan. All right. So did you have anything else you want to say about this particular minute or the movie in general?
No, I know we're wrapping up the week. I'll remind the audience again if they skipped over it or if they missed my earlier comment. While Die Hard is still my favorite of the trilogy, this is definitely neck and neck for my favorite. It's right behind number one. Number two, I really, really like, but it's a distant third of the trilogy. I would watch one and three back to back more than one, two, three. Two is not bad. I just feel like it feels more Die Hardish, one and three, than the second one, which feels like let's just do an action movie with John McClane.
Right. Okay. I can understand that. I can appreciate that. All right. So the script. This scene doesn't appear in the script at all. So once again, we have nothing to talk about in the script. But like I mentioned, next week we have a lot to talk about in the script. So there will be script moments. Next week, even though this week there are less. All right, so now we get to Friday's segment. So Friday's segment is called Name That Movie.
Okay, uh-oh.
Okay, so most people are aware, I don't know if you're aware, that this movie had a different title at the beginning. It was originally known as Simon Says.
Really?
Okay, before it became a Die Hard movie, it was just known as Simon Says.
Okay.
So what I did was I went and found a list of 150 different movies and their original titles. Some of them are fake titles. Some of them are original titles, you know, because like, for instance, you know, when Return of the Jedi came out. So when they were filming it, they used a fake title so that people wouldn't find out where they were. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. Do you remember what Return of the Jedi's fake title was?
Yeah. Wasn't it like a horror movie title? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Blue Harvest.
Yeah. Very good. Very good. Okay.
Yeah, Blue Harvest.
So that's the idea here. Okay. Right. You actually get five movies. I've chosen five movies for you that it's their real, the real original titles. None of them are fake. So you don't have to worry about it from that perspective.
Ironic you bring up Return of the Jedi. They had a working title to hide the fact, but do you remember what it was originally supposed to actually be called before they changed it to Return of the Jedi?
Revenge, but then they decided that Jedis don't take revenge.
Right.
Only Sith do.
What's so funny is I remember as a kid seeing the teaser poster for Revenge of the Jedi, and I'm like, I wonder how much those teaser posters would be worth to have one of the originals
exactly. Before
they change the name.
From what I understand, it is worth something, you know.
Yeah, but I got to imagine. So. All
you
right.
Got to go back in time to get those.
I'm ready to play and show everybody just how little I know about the movies.
Okay, so the way that this works is I will tell you the name, the original name of the movie, tell you what year it is, and then you have to try and guess the name of the movie. And along with that, I will give you, you know, there are lifelines. I can tell you the name of the director. I can tell you the name of some of the actors.
Okay, good.
Like that, just to give you a little bit of an idea. It's not completely, you know, out of the blue.
Okay.
All right.
Out of the Blue Harvest.
Okay, so that's right. There you go. All right. So the first one for you, from 1982.
Okay, good year.
The original title of this movie was Dangerous Days.
Dangerous Days, 1982. All right, I'm going to need, I may need a hint.
Okay, which do you want? Do you want the director or do you want one of the actors?
Give me the director.
Ridley Scott.
Ooh, Blade Runner.
Very good. Very good. See, it's much easier than you thought.
Dangerous Days. That doesn't even reference the book. That's weird. I mean, because the book was Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep, which of course wouldn't have really worked as a title for I think a movie either.
Correct. Okay. The next one. From 1972, Berlin Stories.
Berlin Stories. That was going to be the original name, and they changed it.
Yes.
obviously something to do. Well, it sounds like something to do with the behind the wall, the Eastern Wall, Berlin stories, 1972.
Yep.
All right, I'm gonna need a hint.
All right, where do you want to go with the hints?
Let's go. We'll do actor this time. Give me an actor.
Okay, Michael York.
Michael York. 1972. Was it a sci-fi movie?
No.
Wasn't.
No.
Oh. my least favorite genre, cabaret.
Very good.
I was you had me on Ridley Scott, you had me on sci-fi, so I was thinking, was it Logan's Run? But no.
From what I remember, Logan's Run was 76.
Yeah, it was a few years.
Okay, so you ready for the next one?
Cabaret was originally going to be called Berlin something. Behind, was it? What did you say?
Stories.
Berlin Stories.
Berlin Stories. Yes. All right, next one.
Okay.
From 1977, Watch the Skies.
Oh my gosh, 77, same year that it's the same year that Star Wars came out. It's the same. Spielberg. Close Encounters.
Excellent.
Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
All right.
See, now we're back to sci-fi. That's where my brain always goes first.
Okay. All right. The next one, 1976. The Contender.
The Contender. Oh, Rocky.
Very good. You see? You for some reason thought that you weren't going to be good at this. You're doing very well.
You're giving me the year, which helps.
Well, so the last one, I won't give you a year. How's that?
No, don't do that. No, it's helping you. I like it. No, I like pretending I'm smarter than I really am.
Okay. All right. And the final one from 1993.
Okay.
Extremely Park. Violent.
Oh, that's the name of the type movie?
Yes, extremely violent.
Oh, because I just said when Jurassic Park came out, and that I thought you were saying, oh, yeah, extremely violent. I'm like, well, extremely violent. Wait a minute. Was that 93? Is that? Shit. Oh, I want to guess, but I don't want to guess wrong. Is it a McTiernan movie?
Yes, it is.
I'm going to go with 1993 Last Action Hero.
Excellent. You see, there you go, Alan.
Oh, my God. That was tough. That you were forcing me to, like, flip through the catalog of my brain, which, by the way, the older I get, the years get easily more blurred. I don't have the distinction. My buddy BK and I, he does a nostalgic radio show, talks about movies and music and the things of the 70s and the 80s. And it's always kind of, it's a throwback show. It's definitely not politics. It's about, you know, just nostalgia. And we talked about how the box office is not doing so well here. Technically the Memorial Day kicks off the blockbuster season. And you had all these movies so far come out that are not done well, including Furiosa, which is part of the Mad Max saga now. And yep. I thought, well, Mad Max, that Fury Road just came out a couple years ago. And he's like, no, that came out in 2015. I'm like, there's no way it was that old. Like it's that far back. There's no way it's 9 years ago. And I had to look it up because in my brain, I just assumed it had come out a few years or right around the pandemic. I didn't realize it had been that much. That had been 9 years since we had a Mad Max movie.
Wow. Yep. There you go. All right. So, Alan, would you like to one final time this week tell people where they can find Alan Sanders?
Yeah. And of course, unless somebody drops out on you, in which case, who knows, I might be back for off the bench fill in. But for that, from now, you can find me, the Alan Sanders.
Well, that's why I didn't say the last time this season. I said the last time this week.
This week. You're right. Right. The Alan Sanders Show. You can just find it on all of your podcatchers. It is a political talk show. It is a very it goes stale very quickly because it's about what's happening today in the news or on the world stage or how it relates to American politics, being that I live in the United States of America. So if you want to just have a news talk podcast, just kind of get a a perspective. If you just want someone else's take on the news, you don't have to agree, but I do try to give you as much information as I can. I generally give you the sources of where I get my material, but at the same time, I've been around the block a few times. I've witnessed a few presidencies and a few things, a few scandals, and have become a pretty astute fan of American history and civics, especially how our government even formed in the beginning. So if you want to check that out, just do a search for The Alan Sanders Show. You can find me on Facebook, X, Instagram, Getter, and Truth Social, or send an email, thealansandershow@gmail.com.
All right. And I always find that this is a great time to also talk about the fact that, you know, Alan and I are part of this group of people who do movies by minutes. So, you know, there is a website called moviesbyminutes.com. And if you go there, you can try and find perhaps your favorite movie that someone has already broken down minute by minute. Currently, there are 247 movies listed on that website. And, you know, there's a Facebook group. And, you know, there are a lot of people that, you know, there are hundreds of us out there that have done movies this way and will continue to do that way. So if for some reason you don't find one of your favorite movies that's already been broken down by minute by minute, maybe you want to do your own podcast. Maybe you want to start doing something like this. And there are many people out there like myself and Alan, you know, that are always willing to help out. Like I said, there's a Facebook group. People are very helpful there with giving advice on how one does this type of podcast. So you should go there and check it out. Finding me is very simple. Just do a quick search for Movie Rock a Minute. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on Twitter. You can find me on Instagram. You can find me on my website, movierockminute.com. And if you want to send me an email, you can send it to movierockminute@movierock.net. So I'll be back on Monday with a new guest. But until then, yippee-ki-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Johnny comes marching home again. Hoorah, hoorah. We'll give him a hearty welcome then. Hoorah, hoorah. The men will cheer, the boys will shout. The ladies, they will all turn out. And we'll all feel glad when Johnny comes marching home.